Praise you, Jesus. Lord, your love never ceases to amaze us. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us so many different ways in which you reveal yourself or how we relate to you. Whether it's a parental way that we relate to you, father-child, maternal, Lord God, husband-wife, whether it be bride-bridegroom relationship, whether it be Jesus, you being our head and we being your body, whether it be a friendship relationship, there's these very various aspects that you provide us to relate with you. And in seasons of our life, some are more pronounced than others. And I thank you, Lord God, for the very drawing near of yourself to us, because there are people that are pursuing you and desiring you more and more. And they're getting results, Lord God. As a matter of fact, they are experiencing you, Lord. I pray, Father, that for all my brothers and sisters here today who don't quite know what that is, to experience your tangible presence, for you to speak to their heart in a very personal way, for them to hear guidance in life choices and life decisions, that you are becoming so real to so many of us that we just want this, Lord, for all of our brothers and sisters. And so we thank you. We've been looking at this subject, Lord, that you've placed upon my heart about pursuing you. And people are pursuing you, and you are showing up, Lord. So we welcome your presence even right now. We welcome your parenting to us right now. We welcome your espousal to us right now. We welcome your friendship. We welcome your royal authority. We welcome your priestly ministry. We welcome every aspect of you, Lord God. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. At this time, I'm going to have Rochelle share a testimony.
Good morning. I'm going to try and get through this. At the beginning of the year, I want to say it was the last Sunday in December, I think it was the 28th, Pastor Mark said something along the lines of, this year was going to be the year for Yes, Jesus. And from my seats, I just simply said, okay, yes. And I didn't know what I was saying yes to, and it's not our job to know what it is that God wants from us. It's just to say yes. And so I committed to the Lord this year to seek him and to spend as much time as I possibly could. And the prayer of my heart was every day, give me something, just something. And so I've started to become more in tune with the Lord. And on Monday, I felt the Lord... drawing me away, and there was a pulling, and he was asking me to get away with him, get quiet with him. And what was really neat about it is I didn't tell Pastor Mark Tuesday. I had already sought the Lord that day. I had already sat with him. I had already prayed. I had already been in the Word. Not only had I been in the Word, but I had gone out and God had put that Word into action in my life. But there is always more. And I felt him calling me away. I need you to get alone with me. And I was like, okay, yes. And I said, yes. And I proceeded to kind of get my ducks in a row and, you know, get my son situated. And then my husband came home and it threw it off a little bit. But I was like, okay, well, then what happened was I got an email. And it was an important email. And I sat down and I thought, oh, and I called my husband and I started getting online. And the Lord said, you said you'd get away with me. Okay, all right, okay. I said, yes. And so I finished one little thing on there, and then I said, okay, Lord, I said yes, I'd get away with you. And I went in my room, and I shut my door, and immediately there was a breaking that started to take place, a breaking before the Lord. I think that we are unaware of how much we all need a really good breaking before the Lord. Even if you're one who deals with your situations the way God is calling you to deal with them, we all need just a beautiful breaking in the presence of the Lord. And I immediately started to break before the Lord, and I was crying out to him and just praying, and I turned on worship music, which I tend to do, and I have go-tos that I go to, and I just started to worship the Lord, and as I was worshiping, a song was playing, and in the song, she said something, and it was the words, "We came to meet you here," and I just paused. Now, I am all for the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say this first. I speak in the Holy Spirit. I am led and guided to the Holy Spirit. Everybody here needs the Holy Spirit. But in that moment, I spoke to the Lord and I said, I want you to come here. Not the Holy Spirit. You come. And he came. Manifest presence of Jesus came into my room. There is a trembling. It wasn't, to put it into words, he was in my bedroom. And I started to tremble. I can feel the trembling even now. The shaking is not in fear or nervousness. It is a presence of God. He came into my room, and I literally couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe, and there was a shaking and a trembling that came from the deepest parts of me, and I just said, "You're here." It took my breath away. Our human bodies cannot even handle the presence of a living God. There is something that happens. And immediately I felt like that I was going to just fall on my face. And at first I fought it, thinking it was just what was happening was going to make me fall. But I realized immediately that in the presence of God, there is no other place to be but on your face. And it's not an on your knees. It's not a kneeling. It's a complete 100% prostrate, flat out on your face. And I just started to cry out to God. And there was a clarity in the prayers I was praying. There was a clarity. I would say, "And yes, that's it. Yes, that's it. And yes, that's it." And as I prayed, I would stop for a second, and I would realize he was still there. And I would just start, "You're still here. You're still here in my room. You're here." He was in my room. We all need a manifest presence of Jesus. Oh, Father, what else do you want me to say, Father? And I just started to cry out. And as I was crying out, I would stop and I would realize that he was still in my room. And the ground was not low enough. If I could have dug a hole and gotten lower and lower and lower, I would have. But I kept saying, "Lord, I can't go any further. The floor is here. The floor is here." And I just continued to pray, and then at some point he was gone. And I have to add to her Tuesday, because after that happened Monday, the Tuesday, and we became undone before the presence of God. So what she said, I was literally going to say, it, because it's the heart of God. We started to cry out in a way we had never cried out. And the Lord showed me Tuesday. I have struggled. I have struggled to open up my mouth in public places. And I knew the Lord was doing something. And when I went after here, I went to Walmart. And even that was ordained, but that's a whole nother story. And there was a woman there. And she was the girl who checked me out. And the Lord said to me, "Ask her if she needs prayer." And I still fought it. I'm not going to lie. And as I was walking to my car, I was at complete peace, and the Lord showed me why, because I knew I was going to put my bags in my car and I was going to go right back into Walmart and I was going to pray for her. And so I went back into the store, and I waited a couple of seconds. She was helping somebody, and I said, I believe God is telling me to come back in here, and do you need prayer? And you know the first thing out of her mouth? You want to pray for me? Yes, God wants to pray for you. And it was just, in front of Walmart and God and everyone at self-checkout, and Walmart's a busy place even at 9 o'clock at night, we had church right there. And I prayed for her, and it was so right. God knows, it was so up my alley. It had to do with her children, and there is a fire being ignited in this place, and he wants every single one of you to be a part of it, but it takes sacrifice, and it takes a want to. The word of God says, if you seek me, you will find me, but that takes sacrifice every single day, every day, and not just a flip open, okay, I read my verse for the day, but a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. That's what God is asking from the people in this body, because we are part of a bigger picture. We might be small in number, but we are mighty. It's not about the numbers. It's what's happening in each seat that's filled in this room right now. And God is telling us, you're part of a big picture. On Tuesdays, we are thousands and part of hundreds of people in the world, hundreds of churches in the world. And we are gathering under one name, Jesus Christ, for one purpose, the purpose of God. And something big is going to happen. And this body is going to be a part of it. And you have to come out. Something is happening in the presence of God on those nights. Please, please come out. Fill the room on Tuesday, people. Fill it. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for sharing your testimony with us, encouraging all of us to move in closer. Frank read a passage of scripture in intercessory prayer this morning from James chapter 4, verse 7. Draw near to God. And what will God do? Draw near to you. Move in close to God, and he'll move in close with you. Step closer to God, and he'll step closer to you. See, this is a normal part of our life. And what ends up happening when we don't experience the nearness of God or the closeness of God, then at times we change it for formalism or for religion or through going through the motions because we're not experiencing at times what Rochelle is speaking of. Now, how long did it take for Rochelle to get to that place of experiencing the manifest presence of Jesus? Now, we've been looking at a subject, persecute versus pursue, and we've been now focused on the pursuing part. We're to pursue the things of God. Paul said that he pursued the Lord. He pressed toward. He pressed after, as he says in Philippians chapter 3. And he says that if he says, follow my example, join in following my example. So what was example? Everything that he said above that. He says, the way that I'm pursuing Jesus, I want you to pursue Jesus. The way that I'm apprehending things of Jesus, I want you to apprehend them also. The way that I'm knowing God, I want you to know him. The way that I've been experiencing the very power of God demonstrated in my life, I want you to experience that same demonstration of power in your life, as he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And then the last two parts of verse 10, it talks about the fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to his death. We are going to have difficult times while we're living on this planet. We're going to go through challenges. We're going to experience some type of a suffering, some type of a trial, some type of a pain. Just by virtue of being, living as a human being on this planet, things are going to come your way that we did not sign up for. Hello? But he says that there is a way for us to be in fellowship with him during that time. There's a way to experience him during that time. There's a way, instead of crying out like, get me out of this. I mean, even Jesus one time, right before, you know, if it's possible, can this cup, is there a different way for this to be done? But right away, he made that switch. Not my will, but your will be done. See, Jesus had a 33-year walk on this planet during a very difficult time in human history. He probably daily saw crucifixions or people hanging from trees and crosses and all over the place. So can you imagine as a small child growing up and seeing 33 years of brutality and hearing the agony and the screams and, just all kinds of things that people are saying as they're being crucified or while they're hanging up there, before their last breath goes out. He's got all these images. See, we don't think about things like that. We don't think about a 33-year walk and having to see these type of things. And he's like, I'm next. But not my will. See, when we know that we're doing God's bidding, then God's with us. And we have to realize that. We have to know that there is a connection that we have with Father God no matter what is dealt to us in life. No matter what comes our way, God has a way out. He has the other side of it. We may not like the present experience, but we're told a little bit about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Joy set before him. What joy? He knew that there was another side of that experience. He knew that there's something else was going to come out of that. Number one, he was going to be reunited with his Father. But what did he do before that? He paid the price for all of us to be reunited with God as our Father. Could it possibly have been what he was saying, not just being seated at the right hand of the Father, having become the justifier of all those who put their faith in him and all of us who have received the gift of righteousness? But can you imagine the sea of people? The sea of people in the presence of God. What was lost in the garden has been restored. And every one of us that says yes to Jesus, every single one of us, we get to have God as our Father once again. We get to experience God as our Father. Carol, you brought up an interesting point this past Thursday as she looks at me with huge eyes. We were talking on this subject a little bit in the Thursday class, and Carol, you brought up something about the Lord's Prayer. Would you like to come up and share what you shared about the Lord's Prayer? Come on. Today's the day of calling out. Oh, Karen, you're next? No.
Well, the Lord's Prayer, you know, the first phrase, hallowed be thy name, sounds kind of archaic, and we don't quite relate to it. We go on to thy kingdom come, we get that, and thy will be done. But the first one, Jesus put it first, and the name he's talking about is Father. He's just praying to our Father, and the change from the Old Testament where they didn't call God Father, to this, what we have this privilege, that his Father is our Father, and that name needs to be so special to us.
Yes, amen. See, you know, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's what Carol's referring to. Thy name, what Jesus just got through saying, Father, being restored back to God as Father. Isn't that a beautiful revelation that we can have? And so many of us, so many people, how many of you have ever had a bad relationship? How many of you are still working on relationships? How many of you that are married are still working on your marriage relationship? I will not look in that direction. That was a pretty stout amen there. Friendship relationships. Are we working on friendship relationships? How many of us would have liked to have had a better parental relationship with our parents at times? You know, life is all about relationships. And I'm sure every one of us at some point in time have been let down by a relationship we've been in. Whether it be in a friendship relationship, maternal, whether it be a parent, or whether it was a spousal relationship. We know what hurt feels like. And The perfect relationship is when we come back to know God as Father. And there is a relationship, there is a fellowship that each and every one of us are to be enjoying, but because we have experienced so many broken relationships, we carry that into our Christian walk. We carry that into our walk with God. At times, I believe Karen had a good parental relationship. She always speaks favorably about growing up and being treated as a princess. And she's able to relate to God like that. And those of us who haven't had something like had that, we have to learn what it means to trust God as Father if we haven't had a good parental relationship. And at times, we kind of, or if you've had, or some females here, some of you women here, that have had bad experiences with men, and God is referred to always in the male or the masculine, and at times you have a difficulty relating to God. True? And it's through getting to know Him, it's through what the Word of God reveals about Him that we're able to allow our defenses down and our hurts to be healed, and to know that God is not like a person, that He would not treat us the way that we've been treated, like a human being may have treated us. And we come to understand that with the frequency of Scripture and how God is working in each and every one of our hearts and lives, we begin seeing facets of God. We're good. How many of you were in the flesh this past week? Okay, we'll probably all lift up our hands and feet. We know, we're pretty good at talking about the flesh. Frank had a teaching this past Wednesday about walking in the Holy Spirit. And he covered a few areas about walking in the Holy Spirit. But yet, why is it we're so good at talking about walking in the flesh, or we can name some of the things, but how did you walk in the Spirit this past week? How were some of how was some of your contact with God, or as Rochelle referred to, a Walmart experience? Were those encounters that you had this week? Were there some God encounters? Were there some things that you really know that it was God at that time in your life, or a revelation of truth, something you're reading, and the light bulb finally came on? In Galatians chapter 5, let's just go there real quick. Galatians 5. I'm going to read a nice little portion of Scripture here. I just want you to hear all of it in context. Because we should have, as believers in Jesus, a more of a manifestation of the fruit or evidence or proof of the Holy Spirit within our life than we do the works of the flesh. Amen? Amen? Okay. We are born of God. We are born of the Spirit. And it should just be a natural part of our life, more so than not. Verse 16, but I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. In other words, it's contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh, the things of God are contrary to that which is carnal, not of God. These things are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. Wouldn't we like more of that? So you do not do the things that the carnal part, the unrenewed part, the Adamic from Adam, that lust after. Okay, let's say somebody, do you ever want to get even? Somebody hurts you. Do we have a tendency to want to hurt back? See, that's something we do. That's something like we wish to do. Somebody cuts you down, I'm going to cut them down. How about, do we ever do one-ups? Somebody gives a testimony and we want to one-up the testimony. There's something in us that is not of God that wants to, blow our whistle at time? Or they said this, I'm going to counter it with that. See, is that the life that God has for us? Why is it that some of those things we still wish to do? Because we haven't encountered the truth in that area. We haven't encountered the love of God in that area. We haven't encountered a revelation of Jesus Christ in that area, and that's why there's still that response within us, because the more that we encounter the Word, the more that we encounter the truth, the more that we encounter the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we begin catching ourselves more. You ever do that? That's good. I'd rather get the than let something come out of my mouth or a reaction of my life that I used to do, and at times I do. Christine will say amen to that. Because why? Our relationship is organic. I don't have 5 steps to Christine's heart. You know, when people don't know what to do, we want steps. We want formulas. We want, if I do this, as a man, I can become very mechanical. I have to be careful of being very mechanical. Well, if I start out with this, and I do this, and I do this, and I do this, then I'll get a response from God. As one man's book out there, it says, 7 steps to answered prayer. And I said, I was kind of, sometimes I look at books, and I look at what they say, and I look at my relationship with my wife. Now, wouldn't that be weird? Okay, now when I walk up to Christine, I have to say, oh, I just thank God for you. I have to say how much I love you. Isn't that weird? But yet, we get like that when it comes to God. Instead of just speaking and communicating and just being natural in that. Why is it at times that we because, you know what, let me just say this. I think at times we like steps like that. We like things to do like that because then we think I'm really heard now. I really have God's ear. I've done this, I'm this, and therefore he hears me. My Bible says, oh, wait a second. What was that passage? Tanya, do you remember that passage? Where's Tanya? Remember that passage I read this morning? Okay, here it is. I think this is it. Let me see. I tried to put a marker in, but after, you know, sometimes you put so many markers in, you don't know which marker that you marked to talk about. That makes sense? How about this? Psalm 139. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You listen to this one. You understand my thought afar off. All thoughts. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted. You are very familiar with every aspect of my life, all my ways. Now, real quick, let's just take it from Sunday to Sunday. How were some of our ways this week? Okay? It says God knows there isn't anything that's hidden. He knows everything. But you want to know the greatness of our God? You know what he thinks about us? It says right here, there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Out. I haven't always been as kind as I should be this week to my wife. I haven't always said the right things probably to some of you that I should be saying. Right? It says that he knows every one of them. But look at verse 5. You have hedged me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me. He knows everything about us, and he still wants to love us. He still wants to protect us. He still wants to care for us. I mean, if that doesn't cause us to want to change, I'm like, wow, that you know every aspect of us, because there is a sightedness that God has. He sees us. He sees the end product of what we're going to be. So could we say he tolerates with us now? You know, he sees me. He sees us. Jesus said on the cross, it is what? Finished. In Revelation chapter 21, there's another it is. It's done. So the it is finished, what Jesus secured for everybody, has been brought to its final completion. It's done. And God sees us up there done. He knows the process. He knows your up and downs. He knows your shortcomings. He knows when you fly off the handle. He knows every wrong choice that you're going to make. But there is ample provision that he has to overcome everything we do, pleasing or displeasing, even an affront to him. Sometimes I do things that's just a complete affront to God. Oh, don't look at me like that. You do it too. But in Jesus Christ, what he took on our behalf satisfaction for everything, complete satisfaction. for everything. You talk about wanting to love him more, wanting to pursue him more. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Doesn't it just blow our minds how God thinks about us? Look at this other one here before I go on. You know, when I was just reading this in intercessory prayer today before we started, I was just blown away by how God looks at us and God thinks about us. How precious, verse 17, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Listen to verse 18. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. When I come to myself, I'm still with you. Okay, just all of you imagine put two hands together and imagine you're at the beach and you've got a handful of sand, two fistful of sand. How many grains of sand do you think are in your two fistful? Thousands upon thousands? I mean, if we had to sit there, okay, today, tomorrow, next week, I want you all to bring in two fistful of sands and we're going to count them all. As Carol's going, yeah. You know? I mean, who wants to do that? But the sum of all them are God's thoughts toward us. Just in those two fistfuls, not counting all your fistfuls and all the sand that's still out there. Such things are too mind-blowing for me to think about, is what David's saying. This is a psalm of David. You see, this is the thoughts that God has toward us. And when you come to know this wonderful God who has become our Father, that he thinks like that, who wouldn't want to pursue more? Who wouldn't want to be loved so fully as he loves us? To experience that fullness of a parental love, of a friendship love, of a maternal love, of an espousal love, the height of human experience, whatever good feeling of love, and whatever type of friendship love that you have, the best love that you can ever think of, and just think of that as only one grain of that sand. And how much more he has us of himself. See, I'm trying to get you to desire, if you're complacent, if you've parked, if you've settled, to get unparked, to get unsettled, and to begin pursuing more. Because we know you all know what the works of the flesh are. Let's go back here, Galatians chapter 5. I started reading that. Let me just go ahead and finish reading this. But if you are led by the Spirit, 5:18, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, the business of the flesh, the actions of the flesh, the product, what we produce. It says that they're very evident. Now, we know all these things: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition. How many of us could do a little with less selfishness within our life? Dissensions, heresies, envy. Any of you get envious of other people? Murders. You know, they say, you know, the people say that if they could get away with it, they say most people would have committed at least once in their life that they hated somebody so much, somebody did something so horrible to them, that if they could get away with it, they would have put somebody under. Drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, those who practice, those who participate, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I would like to just enumerate on some of those. I have a little chart in the back of my Bible about the works of the flesh. How many of us all here, we can identify with what adultery is? You know, it'd be like me, like cheating on Christine with somebody, right? Wouldn't we think that's idolatry? How about friendship with the world, a greater friendship with the world than that with God? Spiritual adultery. We know what fornication is, any sexual contact outside of marriage, whether we're thinking about it or whether we're actually doing it. Entering into a wrong relationship. How about lack of a commitment, straddling the fence, bringing into our walk with God the things that we shouldn't be bringing in, bringing a mixture in, which is comes under uncleanness or a mixture or untrue doctrine. The fourth one, lasciviousness. I have a definition here, not able to be in control of self. Any of us ever experienced things like that? Which speaks of vices, that which holds a person in bondage and continue therein. What's if I said I've got a vice out here, what would you think a vice is? How about those tools called vice grips? When you get it down to a certain thing and you snap it, man, it's not going to let go of what it's holding on to. A vice is that which has a control, a grip on you and doesn't let go. This is this word here, lascivious. No, actually, it speaks here of that which has a control of you. This lasciviousness, a vice on you. A strong grip, adultery, causing a worship to come into your life more than the worship of God, that which takes up your time, that which takes up your thinking, that which takes up a prominence with inside your life. Sorcery. How many of you here, you know, are involved in sorcery or witchcraft? None of us are, right? I mean, we don't sit there and go home after church here and play with the Ouija board, right? We don't pull out the tarot cards. Hopefully nobody's reading horoscopes. Okay, nobody wants to answer amen to that. How about getting revelation or wisdom from another source other than God? See, we have to be careful at times that people in the Church of Jesus Christ, when they don't see things happening, they start, as there's a phrase that has come up in the last 10 years, extra-biblical experiences. They're getting outside the Word of God to have a manifestation of God. They're getting out of the counsel of God's word. And this is the proponent of one of them that they'll make a statement like this. If we see it in the occult, it first originated with God, so we can go ahead and practice it because it first came from God and they're just misusing it. Now that sounds good. And I believe that there's probably a lot of things out there that were originally from God that they've countered. But we have to be careful of that experience and of that practice, because you can get very easily involved in false religion, and even though they're putting the name of Jesus to it, we have to be careful of those kind of things because it doesn't line up with the Word of God. And that's why we have the Word of God, to give us clear guidelines of what is of God and what is not of God. When Rochelle spoke of having an encounter with the Lord, man, wouldn't you want more of that? Wouldn't you want to just say you sense the Lord telling you to come aside and you're experiencing Him? His manifest presence is right there. See, what Rochelle spoke of is for all of us as children. Anytime you've heard a leading or a guiding, Rochelle talked about after she went to Walmart. You see, when you start drawing close to God and you start experiencing God, you become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit within your life. You become sensitive more to the needs of others that you come in contact with. Who needs self-hypnosis? Who needs any of that stuff? See, people are delving into it because they're not getting what they need from God Himself, so they're looking elsewhere for a spiritual experience, and they don't even realize they're getting involved in what the Word of God calls witchcraft or sorcery. And they're tacking the name of Jesus onto it. And he says these are all called works of the flesh. Hatred, malicious and unjustified feelings about someone to their harm. Variance or contentions. Any of us have differences with each other? We all are going to have differences with each other. It's when we start picking out those faults. You see, these here are just works or evidences or manifestations of the flesh, of the old Adam part, and we have to realize it's not part of who we are in Jesus Christ. So when these things come to the forefront of our mind, that is not of God for my life, and it stops right here. You see, these things that I'm saying here right now don't have to condemn you. They can liberate you. If you'll allow yourself to say, you know, I have been involved with that, and that's not part of what God has for my life. And if I continue in variance or having bad thoughts towards somebody or starting up division, this word variance also talks about being a source of division. Bill, you want to know what Larry said? No, man. We have a tendency, by way of prayer, brother. Sister so-and-so shared something with me, and I just want you to be a matter of prayer to you, and we just let out all the garbage. Was it really a matter of prayer, or did we want to gossip? See, he's going after the heart, because see, if he goes after the heart and really exposes it what it is, and we get free of it, then God gets to fill it. And so he wants these things to be brought to the forefront. Well, I didn't come in here today to hear this. No, we came in here to hear it, to make sure if it's part of our life, to no more be part of our life. So that we can have the fruit or the evidence or the proof, the living proof of the Holy Spirit. So this talks about the works or the actions of the flesh. And then the Holy Spirit is about the work or the evidence or the proof, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Any of you find yourself being jealous, envious, covetous? Maybe there are sometimes people that go through a hard time or a difficult time or a lean time, and they look at somebody, well, I don't ever see anything that happens to this brother or that sister. That's being envious of them. You're seeing your present circumstance and the thing that you're facing, and you're looking at them, well, I don't ever see anything go wrong with them. You don't live with them for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They may really be having a connection with God and a faith walk, and they're just allowing that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And they really mean it. And you're like, doesn't they ever have a problem? Well, no, they got a statement of trust. They got a statement of faith. They have a place in which they're believing God. You have no idea what's facing them individually or personally within their home. But the old man will try to look, why don't they go through something? I don't ever see them going through anything. We have to watch out comparing ourselves with ourselves. Our comparison is with the Word of God in Jesus Christ. And if that brother or sister's going on and they've got a great faith confession and they're saying it, then encourage them. Amen, I'm with you. Hello? But it's real easy to get jealous or envious, isn't it? Pastor, does everything like anything's happening to you? Follow me for a week. Wear my shoes for a week. Amen. We all journey this life together. None of us are exempt from life. It's just that when life comes, when things happen, what is our response? Amen. Okay, enough of that for right now. Let's go back to Galatians 5. I think you get the gist, right? Galatians chapter 5. I don't like that last part of verse 21. I don't know about you, but I'm inheriting the kingdom of God. I'm all in for Jesus. So anything that of this lift, the natural aspects of it, the spiritual understanding of it, I am free in Jesus of all those things because Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And when they come to the surface, I have a choice then. When it's manifest, I have a choice. Do I want to do that, or do I want to allow the product or the manifestation or the evidence of the Spirit? And the evidence of the Spirit here, it talks, what's the very first one? Love. Fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the next one? Joy, peace. Let me ask you, are you a believer in Jesus today? All these qualities of the Spirit were placed in you at new birth. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. One of the things that Paul said that we were to pursue is what? Love. Pursue love. How many of us, when we compare the fruit of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit, that we at times be in full gospel or charismatic or baptized in the Holy Spirit, tongue talkers, however you want to lump us all together, there always seems to be a focus on the gifts of the Spirit. But let me tell you, even when Paul, if we could just put that up for me, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Let's start there. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. I love the gifts of the Spirit. We should desire the gifts of the Spirit. But Paul begins a dissertation here in chapter 12 and chapter 13 and to chapter 14. But the manifestation, the exhibition, the revealing of the Spirit is given to who? Every person. To what? To profit withal. I love that word profit. Let me just, I have a wonderful definition that I wrote of here in my Bible. To profit withal. To cause to come together, to collect, to bring in. When the lame man was healed in Acts chapter 3, did it just impact him? Or when people saw it, thousands gathered in. See the prophet, the gathering in. See, the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit have a calling card effect, have a drawing in impact. So when all these people gathered together to see what, here's this guy walking and leaping and praising God. For 40 years, he's out there begging. Then all of a sudden, these toothpicks for legs are boing, boing, jumping everywhere. It gets everybody's attention. They all gather together. What does Peter do? Boom. He preaches his second message about Jesus Christ. And it says the number of them went from the day of Pentecost, 3,000 to 5,000. As the result of one miracle, multitudes here and up to 5,000 believers have come home to Jesus Christ. See, that's what the gifts of the Spirit are for. They're not to show off. They're not to say, look at me. See, when we have the right heart, when you have the right heart, as Rochelle was giving in her testimony about wanting the manifest presence of the Lord, and she experienced it. So when she was in Walmart, she gets a word of knowledge. This person needs prayer. Not because, oh, look at me, I got a word of knowledge. No, because there was somebody in need, and somebody had now made a deeper connection with God, and because that deeper connection with God was made, a word of wisdom was able to be given to her so she could minister to somebody. You see, it's to bring in people to know the love of God, to know that someone cares, that God's love is abiding in someone, that they're drawing closer to God, that they're listening. And even God takes notice of me through that individual and cares about my life to go out of their way to come and speak to me and pray with me and to lead me to God's presence. Next verse. For to one is given by the Spirit, what? The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Next verse. Those are two. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, all kinds of tongues or languages, and the interpretation of those things. Those are the nine. Next verse. But all things worketh that one and the same self Spirit, dividing to each man or to every person severally as he will. Those last two words there, I want you to think about it. He wants to do this. He desires to use your life. But do you see, after a close encounter, James 4:7, draw near to God and he'll do what? Draw near to you. After this nearness of God encounter that Rochelle had caused her to be more sensitive to what God was doing or available to someone else, this person needs ministry. See, this is how this is, should be normal Christian living. Normal Christian living for all of us. I shouldn't have to, oh Lord God, I just want the gifts of the Spirit to operate today. I just thank you for your gifts to operate. I just thank you, Lord God. How many times we hear prayers like that? Instead of it just being normal. Normal. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What's that referred to? What chapter? What chapter, honey? Love. It's not the kind of love that we're thinking about. It's God's kind of love, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 13. Now look what the Apostle Paul, because these type of things were happening in the church as they happen in the church now, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become what? A sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. It doesn't matter how eloquent a person is or how they so smoothly communicate God's word. If God's love isn't there, it's just a bunch of noise. It's just a bunch of noise. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 2? He goes, when I came among you, the only thing I wanted to know was what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Where is the cross and what Jesus Christ has done on the cross and the finished work of what He has done on the cross? Where's that working in your life? How's that working in your life? How have you been impacted by it? I want to know where your life is crossing Jesus. And I want to see how that's working within your life. That's what I want to know. I want to get in a relationship and a fellowship with you and know how that's working in you. I didn't come with fancy words of man's wisdom. He says, I didn't come with this eloquence. He goes, but I wanted the Spirit and demonstration of the Spirit and the power. He says, I wanted the Holy Spirit to show up. Not just, oh, that was a good message. Thank you, Paul, for coming. Thanks, Pastor, for coming. I had a good day today. I want a greater manifestation of God's life and God's love to you. Because this whole 1 Corinthians 13 is comparing these things that we hold up so much. A way a person communicates. But if that communication isn't coming from the heart of God, it's just words then. The next verse. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith. I mean, how many of us pray for that? We want mountain-moving faith. But if it isn't coupled with love, I'm nothing. How many of us desire prophecy? The Word of God says we should covet it. Understand all mysteries. How many of you have ever listened to somebody, they come across with all these wonderful mysteries and deep teachings of God's Word, and you hear it, you're like, oh, that's so cool. And after they get done, what did I learn? How has it transpired? How has it been brought into your life? What is the impact of it doing in our lives? I want an impact of me coming together with God and with God's people to somehow cause me to become closer to Him, and He's just drawn a little bit closer to me, and as a result of that, I'm changed. And it says, without love, it's not going to do anything. Next verse. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Is there anything wrong with feeding the poor? I mean, some ministries have just given themselves just over to what they call I'm go out there and when people are jogging, I'm giving water out. What good is giving water out if they don't hear about Jesus? What good is feeding people if you're not going to share the gospel? I remember when I was up in New York City and I went out on the Raven truck. And the Raven truck is kind of like the food trucks you see around here. And they have a full kitchen in the Raven truck. And they go to all these different communities. And everybody standing in line says, no one is going to get a bite of food to eat until they hear about the love of Jesus. Now, every one of you get out, because there was more than enough people to serve the food. And we went up to each person asking them for prayer. Do you know about Jesus Christ? Here's some literature so that you can know about the God of your salvation, how much God loves you. Every person in that line needed to hear about the love of God in Christ Jesus. What good is filling the belly if they don't hear about the truth in Jesus Christ? Now, some people say, well, we need to fill the belly so they'll listen about Jesus Christ. I tell you what, people followed Jesus for 3 days, and they didn't have a thing to eat because they were hungry for God. And at the end of 3 days, Jesus says, you know, these people have been following us for 3 days. They're really hungry for God. Now we're going to fill their bellies. Sometimes we get it backwards. Catherine Booth, co-founder of the Salvation Army, I read her biography. And as she was dying, she had breast cancer, and as she was dying, she calls her husband to her bedside and says, William, William, I've had a vision. There's something I have seen that I have to tell you about the direction that the Salvation Army is going, and I'm so concerned. That we're just so concerned about ministering or giving to the bodily needs and forgetting the spiritual reason why God called us the Salvation Army. William, I see this taking place in the future. Hear my words and do something about it. So when you think of the Salvation Army today, do you think of a soul-winning organization, or do you think about a social organization? What Catherine Booth, she basically prophesied what the Salvation Army would end up being. And she tried to warn her husband before she died. I'm just not saying look at them. I'm saying look at us. We have to make sure that we just don't trade what God has anointed us to do and just become satisfied with the routine of Christianity. I'm asking God to bust up all routine. I'm asking God to reveal such a great love that he has for you that you're going to be so infatuated with his love, you're going to want to pursue him more. There's got to be something that's cultivated in us to want more of him. And I think we get used to the routine of things, and we end up like the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, where, yes, I do love Jesus, but just not as I once did. And he just becomes, he's no longer first love, he is down the line somewhere, second, third, fourth, the importance. You know, Jesus, I'm really busy today, so do we not have to watch out for those kind of things? And so he talks here about this wonderful love, that this love of God, as he begins talking about it, it's long-suffering, it's kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't parade itself, it doesn't boast of what its accomplishments are. It does not behave rudely, it does not seek its own, it's not selfish. It is not easily provoked, when provoked, you could say. So when a person's provoked, it does not respond to that provocation. It says it thinks no evil. That word evil means wrong, or that which would cause injury or harm to another. It never goes there. I'm going to say, well, I don't always do this, do you? But guess what? That love's within me, and guess what? I can come to a place that I never think evil, harm, or injury about another person. See, this is God's love in me. And because this is God's love in me, this is my inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is God's promise to me because this is his love within me, and therefore I only accept what it says here. Amen? It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It's able to bear all things, believe all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. Verse 8, the very first part of it, it says it can never fail. Why does love never fail? Because God is love, and God cannot fail. Do you believe today that God loves you? Doesn't it tell us in Romans chapter 5 and in 1 John chapter 4, is we didn't love God first. He first loved us. And he demonstrated that love when he sent his son Jesus Christ. Amen? Put up Romans 5:5. It talks about that hope doesn't disappoint. How many of you know that he is the God of all hope? And God will never disappoint you. I just think that is just so neat. God never will disappoint me. Hope maketh not ashamed, because what has happened? The love of God has been what? Shed abroad, spread throughout our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is what? Given unto us. Are you saved today? Baptized in the Holy Spirit today? Your heart has been filled with the love of God. It's got to get from the heart to the head, though. It's got to get from the heart to the soul. Okay, see, I've got God's love spread throughout my heart. God's love is within me. But I don't always make right choice and right decisions. How many of you ever become an emotional wreck? Maybe not an emotional wreck, but how many of us get our emotions whacked at times? It's not always right. Well, it tells me that there's a love of God that's greater than any emotion. I saw a title of a book not too long ago, Hemotions, talking about all the emotions that men go through. Hemotions. And I'm just like, whoa. I was looking through it. I was like, yeah, I'll put this down right now. Sometimes we like to cloud our emotions. We don't like to show our emotions. Or we show like the emotion of anger or the emotion of wrath. Sometimes we have to be careful of the demonstration of certain things within our life. But it says here that this very love of God has already been deposited in us. So we just, okay. You heard me say last week, and let's just see. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:1. Let me just put that up there first. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow after, or the word pursue. This is also the Hebrew word that we've been looking at for persecute. Persecute charity, persecute love. Follow after in such a way that you will not stop till you grab hold of it, till you possess it, until it manifests within your life. This is just not, I'm going to follow love today. No, you're going to go with it with everything that you've got. You don't want to be selfish. You don't want anything of yourself. You want it to be all of God within your life. Amen. You don't want to make choices or decisions in and of yourself, from your soul, anything that is not of God. You don't want manifest. I want the character and nature of God manifest. And you're going to go after it with everything that you have. And it starts right here in your thinking, right here between our ears. And it says you have the ability to pursue in such a way that you will have the manifestation of God's love in your thoughts, thinking, feelings, and emotion, therefore in your speech, character, and choices and behavior of your life. If we will pursue, go after it in such a vibrant, strong way that we won't settle for anything else but the manifestation of the love of God or the character of God within our lives. And you're probably going, wow, that's pretty strong. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? Did God pursue us? Did he pursue us in such a way that he allowed his son to come and take on flesh so he could take on the sin of the world? He pursued us. While the scripture says in Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated, he showed forth his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated it. So if God demonstrated it, can we not allow it to be demonstrated more within our lives? Amen? So it says that we're to follow after charity, or we're to pursue love. Then afterwards, it says we're to what, covet spiritual gifts? What does it say in 1 Corinthians 14:1? Pursue love, New King James. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. The first pursuit is love, so that the gifts of the Spirit, especially the vocal gifts, will be in the nature and character of God. So when we're doing our grocery shopping, we can hear what God has to say and to minister the person at the register. Because we have a heart that's after God. We have a heart that's being conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus. See, this is, you know, I want to get into the subject of hearing God's voice more clear. But if we don't have the right pursuit, then what's the motive of me wanting to hear God? What's the motive of me wanting to draw closer? What was lost in the garden has been restored in Jesus Christ at the cross and his resurrection. so that I can come home to God as my Father. So I can know what it really means to have a proper parental love, and a response of that parental love is me as a child responding with a love back to God. You know, God is like, at times I, as a man, I like, when I make something, I draw it out, and I have all these plans that I do. You need to cut the wood here, and you need to do this. I have these plans on how do I make. Sometimes I bring in this into Christianity. Well, you know, we're just so formulated at times. We want to do formulas. When my son wanted a bicycle in Puerto Rico, how old was he? 4 years old at that time? 4 or 5 years old. He wanted a bicycle. Let's see. I need to go say thank you to Dad first. I need to tell Dad how much I love him. I need to say how great and wonderful he is. And then I can probably slip in the bicycle there. And then just, you know, just go ahead and say thank you for it afterwards, because I know he loves me that much. He's just going to go ahead and give it to me. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? But we do that, though. See, when he comes up and had to dial, oh, daddy, he goes, I think I'm old enough to have a bicycle now. Just by him saying that, I knew his love for me. I knew he was grateful, and he would just be so pleased to get it. He didn't have to vocalize all those things for me to know those things. Just by his petition asking me shows me a world about what he was thinking and feeling of me. But yet we get formulated. We get so formulated. It's a relationship, everybody. It's a relationship that we have with God. I don't sit there and think, I need to say thank you, Lord. Okay, you know, they said, no, continue therein with thanksgiving. Okay, I asked him for this. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. It's a natural response. If I know that I've asked in faith that it's going to come my way, so it's a natural response for my life. I know you're bringing it to pass. Thank you, Father. And so after he asked me, buy the bike yet? Get the bike yet? Where is it? He just knew that my yes, even though I said, okay, son, yes, you're old enough, you can have a bicycle. Oh, my gosh. The moment I said yes, where is it? Huh? There was such a desire within inside of his heart, even though that he did not have the bicycle. Every time I came home, wanted to go look in the trunk. Wanted to see, where's the bicycle? He just had a knowing. When I said yes, he had a bike. Before I ever went to the store and bought it. I said, honey, can we go ahead and get a bike? See, it was just a natural response. He didn't have to psych up faith. But when he came to me as his father, and he made a request of me, and I said yes to that request, he knew, because he knew me, that he was going to get his request. He wasn't thanking me or looking for it to gain a greater favor. He already had my favor. He already had my yes. He already had my blessing for it. So he just couldn't wait for it to show up. That's where the thanksgiving and gratitude came from. Not to twist my arm to make me buy it quicker. You know, sometimes we think, well, I've made this request. Let me just keep saying thank you, Lord, and just, you know, Maybe he'll just give it to me. I'm trying to get the religion out of our walk with God, everyone, and get us back into a vital relationship. Jesus made a comment like this. Remember in John chapter 11? When he was praying about the the raising of Lazarus from the dead. I thank you, Father, that you always hear me. Do you have that confidence with God today? Do you know that you're so loved by God that he knows you? He knows everything about you. He knows it says that you're waking up and you're going to sleep when you lie down. He knows every thought in your head. He knows every word out of your mouth. And you might be gone. And yet he says he hedges you in. Yet he says he loves you. Yet he says the thoughts that he thinks towards you, if you were able to number the sand of the sea, he says those are the thoughts that he has for you, because he knows, because we're related to him now through Jesus Christ, he knows where we're going to end up. And so even though that everything's not right, he knows it's going to get right if you continue. If you just continue just knowing him. See, it's when I first met Christine, we won't go into that story. But I had to get to know her. She had to get to know me. And at first, when I told her my name, she didn't trust me. She thought I said Smith because I was just making up a name because I just wanted to meet her. And no. I pulled out my ID. See, Smith. Mark Christopher Smith. I am a Smith. And then it took time for us to know one another. And so we talked on the phone. We wrote letters. And we got to correspond. And I found out what made her tick. And she found out what made me tick. And she also found out what ticked me off. And I found out the stuff that ticked her off. Because you know the, and then you don't do them, husbands and wives. Okay? If you know something that upsets somebody, well, you know, she was kind of mean to me today. I'm going to go ahead and do this just to watch her spin. That's not love. Love thinks no evil. Love doesn't want to get a payback. Oh, Lord, just go, just please help her right now. As she prays to me, Lord, please help Mark. If we can just begin understanding just a little bit more today, if we can just desire what it says right here to pursue love. Go back up, and I've got here, I'm not going to read it today. Go get the Amplified version of 1 Corinthians 13. Go back and write your own Amplified version of Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23 about the fruit or the proof or the evidence of the Holy Spirit within your life. And start saying, this is who I am. This is what Jesus Christ has made me to be. These are the attributes of God, and these are the attributes of God within my life as a new creation. And allow that to be your dominant thinking. Allow that to be the instruction of your life. And when anything, see, when you meditate on those things, when the contrary things come up, no. You'll start grabbing hold of them. But if you don't know them, oh, I'm going to pursue love today. Define it. What is it? Are you able to define it? Or have you experienced it? Because to pursue love is to pursue God. And to pursue God is to know God. And to know God is to enjoy God and begin experiencing His presence within your life. And I know that's a place that He's taken this local church to. Because God's doing this throughout the world right now. There is a desire to know God intimately. There's a desire to go a whole lot further than where we have been walking with God at this present time. Because there's so much more that He would have us know of Himself. Father God, You tell us very plainly in John chapter 10 that My sheep know My voice. That is our inheritance, Lord. Because we have been rightly connected to You through Jesus Christ, and You have become our Heavenly Father, that we're even able to invoke the name Abba. That You want us in such close proximity to You, Lord. Yes, Lord God, there are those times that I find myself on my face and I can't even get up. As we heard in that testimony today, I'm so able to relate to what she said. But then there's those times it's like sitting in the living room. And You, Lord God, are on the recliner. And I'm just sitting there, just desiring to hear what comes forth from You, Lord God, to my life. And there are so many people, even under the sound of my voice, even here present right now, who have no clue what I'm talking about. They have not entered in. They have not experienced You this way, Lord God. It's actually become a formula at times. Lord God, break the formulas. Break everything, Lord God, within our life that is not of You, that we may enjoy You as You were meant to be known, Lord God. To walk with You, Lord. In such a fashion, in such a way, that just a few chapters in Genesis about a man who initiated a conversation with You, Enoch, and had such a walk with You. We don't even know what the conversation was, but You enjoyed it so much, Lord, that You took him and he was no more. And we are told in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, that he had this testimony that he pleased You. Father, I pray that all of us have that same testimony, Lord God, that we have such a close walk with You, Lord, No, Lord God, we do have that testimony that we please you because that's a desire of our heart, that we please you in everything. And I'm just asking, Father, if you're able just to take one word today that I have said and cause it to be a pursuant reality in my brothers and sisters' lives, Lord, that when they open up Scripture, Lord God, they want to encounter with you, that when they open up their mouth to pray, Lord God, they're coming into your very presence, Lord, as their heavenly Father. And you have such a desire, Lord God, as the Scripture says, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You're just looking for a heart that is after you. And when something proceeds from our lips that is in agreement to you, it says you are just going to do a whole lot more than what we've asked, because that's the kind of generous heart that you are. And you're making us all generous like that, Lord God. I thank you so much, Lord, for these encounter times that people have been experiencing, these close times, Lord God, that we are tasting a little bit more, Lord God, even if it's just a little bit more, that you are good. And once we get a little taste, we want more and we want more and we want more. There's no telling what this church or any other assembly is going to be like when they're released, Lord God, in you. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father God, we thank you. I thank you, Father, for your love to my brothers and sisters here today. And I thank you, Father, that if any of us, as I have, Lord God, you are breaking so much religion out of me, it's not even funny. Sometimes it almost seems it's sacrilegious, some of the ways that you and I converse together, Lord. And I'm just asking, Father, that whatever is not of you that we've accepted as you, I'm asking for these things, these patterns, Lord God, to be broken in my brothers and sisters' lives. To really learn what it means to enter into a fellowship relationship with you, Lord. A conversation in which we speak and you speak and we both speak, Lord God. Father, help us. Help us all, Lord God, to know you like this in a deeper way than we have so far, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.